Welcome to the Manufacture Houston podcast, where Houston's manufacturers come to share, learn, and grow. Brought to you by Alchemy Industrial. For more information, check out alchemyindustrial.com. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural episode of the Manufacture Houston podcast. Just me on this one. I think every other episode is going to include a guest, but I thought I would just take a little bit of time to articulate why this podcast is important to me and why I hope it's valuable to the people that listen to it. So I'll share a little bit of my story, not because my story is important, but I think context around why people do things can be important. So the Reader's Digest version of how I got to this place was that I started out as an engineer in the chemical industry, working as a reliability engineer for a company called Arco Chemical, which is Atlantic Richfield's chemical business, and was working on pumps and compressors, plant turnarounds, et cetera. The thing that I remember most about that experience are the people that I got to work with, the leaders that shaped the way that I think today, the people around me, engineers that started working about the same time I did, and maybe most importantly, the plant operators, millwrights, welders, pipe fitters that I got to work with every single day. And that experience of working with skilled blue collar professionals is so important to me and has remained important to me for my entire career. And I think one of the main reasons is because that's how I was raised. My dad is a pipe fitter, now retired, and my mother was a seamstress. And I remember growing up watching them work and doing honorable work every single day, never complaining, but always getting up and doing the best that they could. My dad, I remember, would get called out sometimes in the middle of the night and would have to go fix a problem. And I'm pretty sure he didn't really want to wake up in the middle of the night and go do that, but he still did it. He had tremendous obligation to his family, and it was important to him to work a certain way, work with honor, and to do the best that he could for himself and for his family. And my mother, I remember when I was a little boy, she used to sew sample clothes for a woman that would come by every week or so. This woman would come by and just have sort of sketches on a piece of paper, and my mother would interpret those sketches and turn them into different articles of clothes, and then those would turn into patterns that anyone else could make. And I remember the days when my mother would just sort of be sitting at her sewing machine working away, and I still remember the sound of the sewing machine and the smell of the oil that was working through the sewing machine. But what I remember the most, like with my dad, is that she also just worked, and just every single day worked, and without fanfare and without complaint. And so those two examples of people doing what I would say are real things, as in working in the real world with physical objects, has really stayed with me. And so that connected with my early days and as an engineer, and even now as someone who builds businesses, I still go back to that feeling of people working on real things. And so all of this has created a mission for me that is deeply important, and one that I think I really sort of coalesced around about 3 or 4 years ago when I turned 50. And it led to creating a moonshot for me. And this idea of a moonshot really was something that I learned when I went to Peter Diamandis' conference called Abundance 360, and so in this session, I met a bunch of entrepreneurs from around the world that were trying to do big things with their businesses, primarily using technology, and that was a lot of fun to see that technology at play. The most impactful thing was what Peter described, which is come up with a deeply meaningful multi-year goal that will drive you forward every single day. And he talks about doing things in 25-year increments, so which is pretty amazing to think about. And what I love about this notion of thinking about a 25-year goal is that it sort of forces you to think big, or it liberates you to think big, and it keeps you out of the rut of incremental thinking. And so, so I decided to write down my 25-year moonshot while I was in the session, and it is this: that I want to improve the lives of 1 billion industrial workers in this 25-year period. And that's certainly an ambitious goal. On most days, I have no idea how I'm going to do it. But I do know that if I grind every day, like my parents did, that I can produce a result that will, over time, have what I hope will be an amazing impact on people that I care about the most. And so I'm so lucky that I get to do it now within the context of business and creating companies that can impact people. And I learned this concept recently from Naval Ravikant, who you can look up on YouTube, and he's all over the place now. He talks about things like leverage, and there's three forms of leverage that he describes: people, technology, and capital. And in the past, it was mostly people. Then capital sort of came in, and now we have technology. So what I try to work on every day is to leverage people, technology, and capital to make a difference that I want to make, to create this moonshot goal of helping to improve the lives of 1 billion industrial workers. The other thing that I learned from Naval was this notion of specific knowledge, which is, what can you do that is actually difficult or impossible to train someone else to do, that can only come to you through experience and through empirical knowledge? And what feels natural to you but is difficult for other people? And so over the last year or two, I've really started to think about how to combine this concept of my own specific knowledge with the three forms of leverage that Naval talks about: people, capital, and technology, to produce the result that I want to produce. So that's what led me to this moment to launch this podcast called Manufacture Houston. The reason why I chose that name was because I firmly believe that there's a tremendous opportunity for Houston to become the global advanced manufacturing leader in this next few decades. And I think the opportunity to do that is so gargantuan that it's even hard to, I think, for me to conceptualize it. And I think there's two or three reasons why that opportunity exists for Houston. One is because labor rates from around the world are increasing from places that were traditionally low labor rate countries, which I think is very, very good for those countries and for the world. It's always a good thing when there's a rising middle class, from a social and economic standpoint. The second reason is that manufacturing technology like robotics and material science and additive manufacturing and so on are becoming much more accessible to people like me. You don't have to be a coder now to program a robot. It's becoming easier to do, for example. The third reason for this opportunity, which I think is the biggest reason, is that there's 2 to 3 billion people, maybe more than that, around the planet that are really not buying the things as we buy them here in the United States or in other so-called developed economies. Things like light bulbs and cars and shoes and washing machines, iPhones. So what happens when these 2 to 3, 4 billion people start consuming those things? Somebody has to make all of that stuff. And so this demand wave, I think, is spectacular. So much so that our thinking can't be competitive, it has to be collaborative. And so this concept of Manufacture Houston and this podcast is an attempt at creating collaboration so Houston can win in this generational opportunity that we think that we have. I think the other reason why I did it was to help me sort of manifest this goal of helping 1 billion people, 1 billion industrial workers around the world. And that if I can create a tribe of people in Houston that are learning from each other, that are inspired by each other, that are trading with each other, doing business with each other, to help solve this problem and meet this coming demand, then I've taken one step towards my moonshot. So that's why I'm doing this. My hope is that I'll learn a lot personally. I hope that you guys will learn a lot and you'll find the content interesting. I've decided to focus on anyone and everybody that touches manufacturing in one way or another. And that includes CEOs of public companies. It includes people who are working in the nonprofit arena, people who are working in the innovation ecosystem here in Houston, and even someone like Pete's Garage, who's working on Rolls Royces every single day. I think all of us are part of this ecosystem, and it's going to take all of us, each of us, to meet this amazing opportunity that stands before us, for our city. So I hope you enjoy the episodes to come. Can't wait to hear what your feedback is, and I hope we'll learn and love together. Thanks, guys. This has been the Manufacture Houston podcast, brought to you by Alchemy Industrial. For more information, check out alchemyindustrial.com. If you'd like to be on the show or want to recommend someone to get on the show, just reach out to me on LinkedIn. M-U-S-H-K-H-A-N, Mushkan. I look forward to hearing from you.